Over the past few months of quarantine, the social media app TikTok has gained the attention of millions of American users for its dancing videos, its comedy gags, and Gen Z memes. But it's also gained the attention of someone else for a very different reason. President Trump has threatened to ban the Chinese-owned app as part of his larger showdown with China. And in the past few days, the threats from the president grew.
We're looking at TikTok. We may be banning TikTok.
And the fate of TikTok hangs in the balance. Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Ryan Knudsen. It's Tuesday, August 4th. Coming up on the show, inside the race to save TikTok.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/journal. Terms and conditions apply.
TikTok is just the latest company to be caught in the middle of a battle between the U.S. and China. But at first glance, TikTok doesn't seem like it would be an app to catch the ire of the American government.
TikTok is designed to be mindless entertainment. It is designed to be the opposite of controversial. I mean, for listeners who aren't that familiar with TikTok, it's like some combination of like David Letterman's Stupid Human Tricks and America's Funniest Home Videos, like adapted for the age when every 16-year-old has a smartphone in their pocket. Most TikTok users have never heard of David Letterman, by the way.
That's our tech editor, Brad Reagan, who might have just shown his age.
It's goofs, it's lip syncing, it's dancing, it's silly.
Yeah, I'm personally very addicted to TikTok, and I had to put like a screen time limit on, otherwise I would just be in it for hours.
Well, I mean, that's one of the other interesting parts about this is like in the middle of the pandemic, TikTok is such an escape for so many people. And so for this thing, which has become a pawn in this geopolitical battle, it's just hard at times to get your head around.
The geopolitical battle surrounding TikTok, China, and the U.S. has been going on for months. But early last month, it took a turn.
It really kicked off, our reporting shows, when
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo joins me exclusively now.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo went on Fox News to say that the U.S. was looking at taking specific action against TikTok.
Shouldn't we be considering right now, tonight, a ban on Chinese social media apps, especially TikTok?
Laura, your viewers should know we're taking this very seriously. We're certainly looking at it.
So that really put on people's radars that, wait, the U.S. government might actually do something here.
And why was Secretary of State Pompeo making this suggestion that the U.S. was going to ban TikTok? What was his concern?
It's about data sharing primarily. TikTok is owned by ByteDance, which is a Beijing-based company. And any company that operates in China is subject to the whims of the Chinese government that can ask for access to data. As we know, China is a surveillance state, and they collect tons of data on their citizens and as much data as they can on global residents.
TikTok is the first Chinese app to ever make it big in America. And with so many Americans spending so much time on the app, U.S. lawmakers have started voicing concerns about what the Chinese government might have access to.
TikTok is not as innocent as it sounds.
It seems to just be fun video sharing app, you know, seems harmless. But the back end of TikTok really is a Trojan horse on your phone.
This is a major security risk for the American people.
In TikTok's case, they have said that the Chinese government has never asked and that they would not provide that data. But anybody who knows how China operates has some doubts about whether TikTok would be able to say no if they were asked.
The concerns aren't only about what data the Chinese government could see about Americans. It's also about what Americans themselves see on the app. TikTok has tried to keep controversial posts off the platform, which has opened it up to criticisms of censorship.
We've shown in our reporting that they've taken down Trump content that they felt was controversial or provocative because they didn't want to be provocative. Hmm. But that raises obvious concerns, like, do we want a China-owned app making the decisions about what is acceptable for American users? Now, TikTok has said that they are trying to change their content policies to match the local markets where they operate, including the U.S. And so basically they're saying, yes, we used to take a very Chinese approach to how we moderated the content, but we're changing, we're becoming more American. But questions remain about whether they can pull that off in full.
When Pompeo made these comments in July that the U.S. was considering banning TikTok, how did TikTok executives react to that news?
Well, this was an existential crisis for them. You know, they needed to find a way out of this box.
To get out of that box, TikTok needed to figure out a way to address the U.S.'s concerns. And they've done a number of things to try and separate the app from its Chinese parent company. TikTok hired managers in the U.S. to run the app, including an American CEO from Disney. They brought on lobbyists to convince regulators to allow the app to stay. The company also started storing U.S. user data outside of China, in Virginia and Singapore. But while TikTok was doing everything it could to stay in the U.S., the American government was exploring all the ways it might be able to keep TikTok out.
Of course, they don't have the right to order that Americans take TikTok off their phones. So the question is, what pressure can they apply that would make it more difficult for TikTok? They are looking for any mechanism they can find to apply pressure.
One of the ways they might do that is by putting pressure on Google and Apple to remove TikTok from the app stores. Another way could be retroactively undoing an acquisition TikTok made of an American company 2 years ago, which would make it harder for TikTok to operate here.
The Trump administration is pushing the limits here. And as that has hung over TikTok, it has forced TikTok to consider, like, if the Trump administration is not going to allow us to operate as a Chinese-owned company, how do we continue to operate in a different ownership structure? TikTok made a number of proposals. They proposed operating under an independent board that wouldn't include the Chinese investors. There are some big American investment firms, venture capital firms, that are minority investors. And there were conversations about maybe those investors could just become the majority investors. And that way, TikTok is no longer majority Chinese-owned. But the Trump administration made it pretty clear what they wanted was for the company to be cleanly American-owned. They didn't want any Chinese investors or any links to the Chinese government in any way in the ownership structure.
With few options, TikTok started thinking about selling its U.S. operations to an American business. And one business was seriously interested. Microsoft.
And a possible new suitor to buy TikTok here in the U.S.
Microsoft confirming it is in discussions to buy TikTok, the Chinese-owned short-form video app that President Trump is threatening to ban in the United States.
Our reporting shows that Microsoft has been dancing around TikTok for a number of weeks.
With all due respect to Microsoft, they don't exactly strike me as a company that sort of matches the TikTok vibe.
That's very much true. Microsoft is considered one of the more straight-laced tech companies, and TikTok's kind of freewheeling vibe is definitely going to be a departure.
So then why would TikTok be a good fit for Microsoft?
Microsoft is a company that has data contracts with the Department of Defense. That's a pretty good landing spot for a company like TikTok that has security concerns surrounding it. You know, we know all about their business software, but on the gaming side, they have Xbox, which is a huge and successful business, but it's dominated by men. TikTok is predominantly a female-led platform. So, like, as Microsoft was looking at their consumer base, they saw this as a way to get more women.
Do you have a sense of why TikTok might be interested in Microsoft?
I don't think they have many solutions. The founder of ByteDance used to work at Microsoft several years ago. He didn't stay very long. Our understanding is it wasn't a perfect fit for him. But He seems to have some affinity for the company. He made some charitable donations recently in conjunction with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. It is a company he's not in direct competition with already. Facebook is their competitor. You can see where they would not want to sell to Facebook or to one of their direct competitors. By going to Microsoft, they go to a company that, as our understanding is, can offer them some independence, can offer them financial support. TikTok is not profitable yet. It's growing like a weed, but it needs a company that can support them and spend and give them all the resources they need to eventually take on Facebook, which is what they want to do.
It's unclear how much Microsoft was thinking of paying for TikTok, but it's likely in the billions of dollars. TikTok's parent company, a conglomerate called ByteDance, is worth about $100 billion.
TikTok is arguably the crown jewel within that. So when you think about valuation, you can think about how much is TikTok as a whole worth, but this deal with Microsoft is only for the U.S. operations plus a couple of other smaller countries. But you also have people arguing that this is in some ways a bit of a fire sale. It's an asset under distress. And so will TikTok be able to get the true value out of it is one big outstanding question.
But going into last week, it looked like a deal was coming together.
By all appearances, this was a deal that was blessed by the White House. There were senior White House officials involved in the talks. And so our best reporting shows that other suitors were largely steered off. And as early as Friday morning, there was a meeting in the White House with senior Treasury officials, and they were told that the deal was going to happen. And our reporting showed throughout Friday that the White House was on board. And then late Friday night, as Trump was flying back to Washington, he walked to the back of Air Force One. And when reporters asked him about it, he basically said he opposed the deal.
Trump told reporters that, quote, as far as TikTok is concerned, we're banning them from the United States.
That threw a massive wrench into the negotiations, which were in a final stage at that moment. And the companies kind of had to take a pause and say, wait a minute. We thought the White House was behind us. If Trump's not behind us, do we want to go forward with this?
Do you have a sense from any of the people that our reporters spoke with that that's actually what Trump wanted, or was he just bluffing?
I think history will have to decide that, but in the moment, it certainly wasn't clear. You know, Trump fancies himself as a skilled negotiator, and one of the lessons that he has taken away from his experience in businesses, you never take the first offer. And so one of our reporters was chatting with a national security official and said, you know, what do you make of what Trump said here? And the person messaged back, have you read The Art of the Deal? So the suggestion was that he was trying to get a better offer.
The president's hardball tactics set off a scramble for executives and government officials who were trying to convince the president that the deal made sense.
It became very clear from talking to people in and around the deal that this was going to come down to what one person decided.
That one person being the president of the United States.
That one person being Donald Trump.
Hmm.
Trump played golf Saturday morning, and there were people trying to reach him, trying to make their arguments. You know, one of the big arguments that supporters of the deal made to Trump was there could be a real backlash if he bans TikTok. These are young people, and a lot of them will be voting for the first time in November, and there could be an electoral impact if he gets blamed for something that is perceived as negative among, you know, young people in particular. A number of them have made that point.
That if you ban TikTok, maybe we'll vote against you.
Right, exactly.
While advisors were making their case, TikTok users got on the app to say their goodbyes, and in some cases, express anger towards the president.
Okay, that's right, America. Donald Trump is afraid of a video sharing app with dance tutorials, K-pop stans.
Meanwhile, TikTok sent out a video to its creators and users saying, we're not going away.
We've heard your outpouring of support, and we want to say thank you. We're not planning on going anywhere.
But it looked possible that TikTok was going to be forced out of the country. Until someone made a phone call. That's after the break.
This episode is brought to you by C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems. But buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/journal. Terms and conditions apply.
Less than 48 hours after the president announced he planned to ban TikTok, he and Microsoft CEO got on the phone.
Sometime Sunday, Donald Trump and Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella spoke on the phone, and that several hours later, Microsoft put out a statement. It was, by any measure, a rather remarkable statement by the CEO of a public company in acknowledging deal talks and thanking the president for his blessing. It seemed very much designed to make the president happy. The statement went out of its way to thank President Trump for his help and to say that any deal that went forward would address the administration's national security concerns.
Yeah, I mean, I've written a lot about mergers over the course of my career, and I've never seen anything like that before.
I don't think anybody has seen anything like that. You know, most CEOs don't make their deal-making decisions based on what the president's going to think.
The statement and the phone call appear to have eased President Trump's concerns. Yesterday, he told reporters that he supported the deal between Microsoft and TikTok. But then he said something else that caught people off guard. He said the U.S. government would need a cut of the deal.
I said a very substantial portion of that price is going to have to come into the Treasury of the United States, because we're making it possible for this deal to happen. Right now, they don't have any rights unless we give it to them. So if we're going to...
The White House and Treasury Department have not explained how something like this would work. The government taking a cut of a private business transaction like this appears to lack any precedent. So where does this all leave TikTok?
Well, they basically agreed that they would try to wrap this thing up in 45 days. They set a deadline of September 15th to make a deal. And so that starts the clock ticking. They need to come up with a valuation that makes sense, which is, as we've discussed, very tricky. They need to come up with an answer when people say, okay, how can you guarantee us that Americans' data is safe? That is a hugely complicated question, because what they're effectively asking of TikTok is to separate out, you know, to break off their algorithms and say, okay, these will work for the U.S. and there will be separate ones for the rest of your global business. I can't remember that that's ever happened before. I mean, TikTok is a very global experience. You see videos from around the world. That's part of its charm. So to separate out the U.S. operations, you know, does that mean that U.S. users are only going to see U.S. videos? There are a lot of questions to unpack here, and they have a fairly short amount of time to do it.
The deal could also fall through, though, which means that the president could still ban the app. So what are the implications of either option? I mean, if it gets sold to Microsoft or if it gets banned in the U.S.?
Either way, it doesn't help the relationship with China. We've already seen a lot of criticism of this deal from China, a lot of criticism of the ByteDance founder for surrendering, as they see it, to Trump's demands. So it's definitely not going to make that relationship any better. And, you know, we're in this position where the world of tech is bifurcating, where there are a number of huge and successful companies that only operate within China. And increasingly, the big U.S. tech companies are being told they can't operate in China. So we almost have two internets, as some people say. That was the case to some extent 6 months or a year ago. That wall, if you want to call it that, between the two is much higher today.
That's all for today, Tuesday, August 4th. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. Reporting in this episode by Georgia Wells, Mike Bender, Kate O'Keefe, and Kara Lombardo. The TikTok video you heard was by Walter Masterson. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.